HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Building Material, The Memoir of a Park Avenue Doorman by Stefan Bruno. This is the author. To Grace Isabel Bruno, Mommy. Prologue. When the old lady stepped in front of the building, I knew she'd be trouble. I wasn't afraid of her coming into the lobby. I had locked the front door the last time I stepped inside. Of course I'd locked the door. Always keep the door locked was the first thing I had learned at the building, just like it was the first thing I learned at the last building, the one where I'd received my start as a doorman. Once the front door of a Park Avenue building is locked, it's closed on you with conviction. You'll need a chainsaw and a clear schedule to get inside. I wasn't worried about the old lady trespassing into the building. She wasn't impressed by the mammoth pre-war residence before her anyway. She was too busy rocking back and forth and wailing beneath the front door's canopy. It was a warm summer day, and she'd gotten comfortable in the shade. A hard hat walked past, and she quieted herself. Pulling up beside him, she moaned and peered into his eyes pleadingly. Then, as if realizing she hadn't done enough, she raised a shard of cardboard up to her nose. There was a series of stringing uneven letters scrawled on it. Much too small, I thought. The sign and the words are too small. And the way she moved, like a buoy in a storm, wasn't conducive to reading. She couldn't speak English and hoped the sign did the talking for her. But she wasn't doing herself any favors. Keeping it raised at her nose made her look like a stranger outside your window. Every pedestrian walked past the old lady without acknowledging her pleas for help. Hers was a plight for the ages. This lady doesn't know what she's doing, I concluded. She could have learned a thing or two from Junior, a seasoned panhandler in the neighborhood. He passed by the front entrance every morning and waved at us, shouting, "Started my shift!" I always laughed because it was the start of my shift, too, so it was like we worked together, though in different departments. While I stood on my feet inside the building, Junior sat at the corner with a giant cardboard sign that had enough space for two requests, one for money and another for a blessing. Holding that sign, Junior made himself a couple $100 every shift and would later tell me about it with a smile. The operative word is corner. Junior panhandled at the corner, never in front of the building. The lady was doing it wrong. You can't panhandle in front of a Park Avenue building. Everybody knows that. She'd been in front of the building for 10 minutes, an eternity's worth of loitering by Park Avenue standards. Like I said, she wasn't a threat to building security, but she had to go. It wasn't her. It was the sight of her, her look. The pained eyes, the black headscarf knotted beneath her chin, quivering lips that plunged at the corners, the hunched resolve to stay under the canopy. I cringed at the thought of the residents seeing any of that. And that's what happens, you know? After a while, you start thinking for the residents. You consider their needs and defend their sensibilities. The old lady couldn't possibly know that, of course, but it didn't matter. Part of the job is shielding tenants from ugliness and sorrow they haven't bought into. I turned around to see what George, my shift partner, was doing. My eyes landed on his sweeping white mustache. George was deep in the mailroom, his short arms lurching forward with every envelope and magazine that he plunged into a mail slot. It was my least favorite part of the shift, the hour I covered the passenger elevator and the front door while George sorted the mail. Always around 11 in the morning and right before lunch so I could earn my meal in full. Sometimes he lost himself flipping through the tenants' magazines, and that's when it would happen. The building would swamp me with deliveries, calls from residents, and rides on the elevator,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?